And you're listening to the Practice Power Up Podcast with your host, Damian Adler. Damian, the co-founder of Power Diary and a clinical psychologist, will bring to you proven strategies on how to run and grow your practice. Happy listening.
Hi, everyone. Today, we're here to talk about a really exciting topic, or I think very exciting. And it's about all about automation. So putting your practice on cruise control and unlocking the power of practice automations. Here we have myself, Fiona Harrington. I head up the strategy, marketing and growth at Power Diary. My background is in consulting, actually. So I have been a consultant for Accenture, one of the large consulting firms. And, you know, I guess partly why I'm doing this webinar, because I've, you know, seen firsthand how automations are so important to all kinds of businesses, and processes make all the difference. And then my co-host here today is Damian Adler, who most of you probably know. Damian is the co-founder of Power Diary. He's also a registered psychologist and formerly owned and grew quite a large group private practice, group psychology practice with his wife. And so has, I guess, come to Power Diary, but come to all of this automations thinking as well through actual practical hands-on experience, both seeing the problems, but also just figuring out the solutions as well.
Very good. So, welcome, everyone.
Yeah, no, we're excited to get into this and to discuss this with you. Okay, so first we wanted to talk about the vision versus reality. And, you know, I guess while talking about this topic, you know, as I mentioned, I'm really passionate about how to helping businesses operate effectively, making businesses fun to operate in a way, and scalable. And I've done a lot of work with large businesses, but really in small businesses, the problems are exactly the same, and perhaps even more important to get right. You've got less margin for error, and there's just more on the line in most cases. So, Damian, what was your experience and insights being here?
Yeah, I think the reality is often very different to what people expect when it comes to running health practices. So when someone starts their education to become a health practitioner, and they think about, you know, what practicing would be like, what private practice would be like, often have a vision in their mind about that, you know, about having sort of freedom and, you know, being their own boss by being able to kind of choose their own patients and type of work they do, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's great, and we get that kind of picture. But the reality often is a lot more complicated than that, and often there's a gap between the reality and what was originally envisaged. So no one like goes to study to become a health practitioner because they like doing paperwork and admin. But there's like an awful lot of of admin and red tape and regulations and things to comply with. And I think, you know, very often the impact is that, you know, people find it doesn't give them the lifestyle they're perhaps anticipating. There's often more stress than what they anticipated, and may not actually be delivering the financial outcomes that they wanted. And their balance of like client work versus admin work is often out of kilter to what they imagined. And as practices grow, that applies to solo practitioner, but also applies, increasingly so as practices get larger. So that's what sort of brings me to this topic, and, you know, has been a driving sort of force behind thinking about running health practices, and of course actually building Power Diary was very much to kind of solve this.
So I guess what's getting in the way and what we would like to propose is that it's a large part of it is a lack of processes, it sounds simple, but there's huge impacts of working without processes. And of course we all have processes, but some of them we've just come to by default without really thinking them through. Maybe we've seen it done somewhere, or we've just assumed one way, and then once we've got some way of working, we just continue on like that. I guess there's a lot of impacts, and I guess without the processes people can feel really burned out by, you know, all of these admin duties on top of clinical duties, never feeling like everything done, constantly feeling like there's a bit of a mess to clean up behind them. Damian, you speak to a lot of practice owners that have also experienced firsthand about what happens when you don't have systems and processes in place.
Exactly. And the professional satisfaction goes down. I was looking at research the other day that was talking about the risk of burnout in health practitioners, you know, is highly correlated, if not caused, you know, by the administrative sort of side of running, you know, health practices. And even if you're not running it, even if you're a practitioner within it, but you just have a lot of admin work to do, that tends to, you know, be a big predictor of people leaving the industry or feeling burnt out and not getting the satisfaction that they wanted. And the other impact too is in relation to getting this, what we term like the business imposter syndrome. And you know, talking about there is people kind of, you know, we don't really in most training sequences around the world for health practitioners, there's little to no focus on how to run an efficient business, ways of thinking about it, ways of approaching it. There's, you know, great training in terms of how to deliver clinical services and to provide good healthcare to patients and to do that in a compliant way, but nothing about running businesses. And so people often find themselves in a situation where they are running a business and they're running a complex business at that for the reasons mentioned, but actually haven't been given the skills. And often that leads to people feeling like they're poorly prepared, or that, and they feel like that everyone else knows how to do this stuff and they don't. And this is where this kind of imposter syndrome sort of comes in from a business perspective, that it feels like they're kind of out of place and people are going to discover that they really don't know what they're doing. And this is actually very, very common. So it's yeah, it's a big impact, worth spending a bit of time, you know, on it and trying to get sort of understanding why processes are important. And then, of course, today we'll spend some time on processes that make a difference.
And with your own practice, when you started, did you have all the systems down and, you know, processes flowing smoothly from day one, or what happened?
No, we didn't. We didn't. We did recognise that there'd be a need for it at some point, but it reached that very, very quickly. When we started, we had no cohesive system. We were using different things for every different element. So, you know, we were using like Google Calendar for appointment management. We were using Word, Excel, you know, to generate templates and letters, templates for invoices, tracking expenses, I think, was done in something else. I mean, it just everything, you know, was disconnected. And we had lots of different sort of, you know, programs that we were sort of using. And it just gets completely kind of out of hand. And we thought, of course, that there'd be a solution out there for health practices, because it seemed like such a sort of obvious need. But really, we found, you know, that there wasn't. And that's actually sort of how, you know, Paradiri came, you know, into intervene, is that we kind of saw that need and how much it's a drain on resources, you know, when you're not running efficiently. And that's where, you know, I spoke to Paul, my brother and co-founder, you know, of Paradiri, and said, okay, let's see if we can make an impact in this space and make life easier for people.
Yeah.
That's how Paradiri was born.
Yeah.
It was 13 years ago now, something now. So a lot's evolved since that. So I think we're a team now all over the world. And, you know, I think we've got 75 or something, your team members everywhere. And so, but anyway, started from very kind of humble beginnings, and just with exactly this in mind, though, is how do we make life easier by, you know, automating processes and, you know, and taking that sort of
creating standard processes.
Exactly. Mm.
Yeah. And one thing we just wanted to mention here was this book here called The E-Myth. And this was, a book that it's a very old book, actually, a business book. And I read it, I don't know, a long time ago. And I didn't realize, actually, but there's also an E-Myth for physicians specifically as well. And it talks about, you know, starting a business and how you should really, the idea behind it is you should think about your business as if you're going to be running a national franchise, and your practice, your location is the first branch, and so you're wanting to set up standards and processes that can be rolled out everywhere. And I mean, obviously that's an sort of extreme way of thinking, but it actually does help a lot. And I would really encourage people to read this book. It's a super easy read, and it's one, you know, I've read, you know, hundreds of business books, and it's one of the few that really sticks with me, and I sort of think back to a lot.
Yeah. Me too. In fact, this is foundational for me. Like, I'd read both these books in the early days too, and that it just sort of sets a way of thinking, you know. And they talk about sort of standardizing practices, and we think about a franchise. And sometimes people get a little confused with that, because they'll think about, oh, well, my practice is not a McDonald's, you know, it's not a cookie cutter kind of approach. But I think the thing to understand here and what they talk about in the book, it's not, and what we're talking about today, in fact, it's not about sort of taking an impersonal approach to delivery of healthcare, but it's about standardizing the processes that surround the delivery of healthcare. So that by sort of automating a lot of those things, standardizing a lot of those things, it means that the practitioner can be very kind of present and in the moment and deliver the services in the way that you know, resonates with them personally and professionally. So because if you're in a consultation with a patient and you have all these other things going on in your head and you feel overwhelmed and overloaded and you're thinking about paperwork that's behind and all sorts of things, that takes you out of that kind of space. So when we're talking about automation, talking about standardization, it's really about finding that kind of that harmony, and that it is doing that facilitates better, you know, personal delivery of services.
Absolutely.
Just make that distinction, because sometimes I know when I've been talking more casually to people about these concepts, sometimes you get that, oh, well, I'm not a McDonald's, I don't want everyone to be the same. You're like, no, actually, it's nuanced. And I think most people get it once they start thinking about it, like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, freeing you up to have the headspace and energy to actually deliver that value add where it matters.
Exactly. Spot on.
Yeah. Okay. And so I guess, where do you start? Like, that's, you know, the big question, like, you know, automations, processes, systems, it's a big question. And one of the ways we like to look at things is through the lens of the client journey. And I guess this is just sort of for context. We won't dwell too much on this, but, you know, the client might start with us, you know, as how do they sort of first learn about our practice, and, you know, how do they find out, what are their initial impressions, what questions have they got, you know, through to intake and assessing them, the treatment planning, the actual treatment, reassessments, reviews, and the discharge or transition, and feedback, perhaps asking them for feedback or referring them on or providing feedback to referrers. So all of those different steps have obviously got a lot of different processes within them, and we can kind of think about opportunities to make systems and process improvements along each of these in each of these stages. So that's all we probably need to say about that, but we wanted to really, you know, spend most of this session jump some real practicalities here. So we've got a few different areas we want to cover. So the first one is pre-booking inquiries. So, you know, this is before people actually, you know, before we even know that people are thinking about using our services.
Yeah. And I think, having a website where we're just sort of getting off that key information of who you are, details, and we've talked about in other webinars, but the importance of having photos of the practitioners is very important on your website. Explain what you do and also uniquely what you do. Like, so you can sort of talk a little bit of an opportunity here to explain your approach, because then it allows people to see whether they think that you would be a good fit for them, or if it's a GP or a physician making the referral, then they can see whether that's a good fit for the patient they have in mind. The types of clients you see, any of the fees, out of pocket, open hours, FAQs. So the way to think about this, right, is about any sort of information that you find yourself delivering, say, via phone or delivering in a less efficient way. The idea behind it is to get as many of those sorts of things out there and available for people to see without it actually taking time, you know, from you or from your sort of admin team. So in that way, you actually provide more clear information, so you get sort of people booking more confidently and more likely to get a good fit, like, you know, people are self-selecting. You're, of course, reducing phone calls, right, which is great. So if you think about how inefficient phone calls are, you know, an immediate kind of, you know, saving there. And it helps businesses grow. We see when businesses do this, they put a good website out there, has some good basic information there, then everything else sort of gets smoother and you save heaps of time. And the other thing to like remember here, it is nice to have a nice-looking website, but also don't get hung up on it, right? So, you know, the content of what you have on there is actually a lot more important than the styling of it or whether it's the exact right, you know, spot-on brand and all the rest. It is good to do those things, don't get me wrong, but don't get hung up on it. It's better to get a very basic website with this information on there than to spend 6 months getting this beautifully designed, you know, website that, you know, is hard to maintain and is out of date by the time it actually goes live anyway. So
yeah,
getting it up there.
And keeping it up to date, like you said, it's sort of should be a working document almost, you know, that you're constantly adding to as you think of more, you know, things, or you recognize that clients are asking about certain things. Actually, Damien, before we jumped, we jumped on this call, we were talking about what happened with your practice one of your pages went down.
Yeah, so we had a page on our, so it was a psychology practice, and we had a page on there that had all our team members, all the psychologists and what they specialized in, right? And I mean, the site went down, this page kind of went down, and we had no idea. I wasn't really looking at stats back in those days of, you know, what people were landing on. We had no idea if anyone was using that at all until it went down. And then we started getting all these like phone calls from family physician offices, from GPs, from all sorts of different referral sources who were, and what we found is they were using that page to select a practitioner from our clinic, or from our practice, with the patient. So they had the patient with them in a consult and say, I'm going to refer you to the psychology practice. Which of these people do you think would be the best fit? Right. We had no idea that was happening until we started getting, you know, all these calls coming through. And that's when it really kind of clicked and realized this kind of content is really important. And when we saw all the admin load go up, right, as soon as that went down, you know, we realized, okay, rather than people having these conversations on the phone, and tying up time trying to find the right fit and all the rest of it, by just having it out there is better any way that you look at it.
Yeah, amazing. And just shows you how important those, you know, profiles and photos really are. Yeah. Actually, we have an article which we'll send out after this. We'll include in the email we send out after this, which has best practices for, you know, health practice websites. So which sort of lists out, you know, the key things to include in, to make sure you include it in your website. Yeah. So that will be coming your way soon. So the next area we wanted to look at was next in the client journey is the client booking and intake. So, you know, this is step two, but, you know, I guess, Damien, what would you like to sort of say about this and online bookings?
Okay. So sometimes when we talk about online bookings, there is some hesitancy. So what we're talking about here, just to be clear, online bookings is where you place a link on your website or on your social profiles. When people click on that, it allows them to book an appointment and a service with a practitioner directly in your, you know, on the website without having to contact you. It's all happening. Okay. Now, sometimes there is some hesitation, right? So people are worried about losing control of their calendar, like clinicians are worried about losing control of their calendar and so forth, right? But just to put at the headline, like to think about this, is that the clear trend over time is that, and particularly with younger generations, but those younger generations are becoming the bulk of the population. The trend is people do not like making phone calls, right? So this is, you know, around the world. So people actually increasingly prefer to be able to book and to manage their personal business, making appointments and so forth, without needing to interact directly. So this is the trend. We're seeing that with the client portal globally, that the use of the client portal is just skyrocketing. Every month there is more use of the client portal than any other month, right? So it's a continuing trend of record-breaking, you know, month after month after month. And a lot of it is because of this preference, right? Now, there's other advantages too by having a portal there where people can book appointments. It's just taking away a whole lot of admin work, right? So people can book whenever they want. So it means that you're not having to return phone calls. If someone gets home from work at 8 p.m., a patient, they ring up, they want to make an appointment, change your appointment. Typically, most clinics are closed. They're going to leave a voicemail, right? And then in the morning, someone comes in, you or an admin team member has to check the voicemails, then ring everyone back and, you know, do it all. Okay, it's very inefficient, not good for the patient, not good for the practice. So by offering online bookings, it automates the whole thing. You can actually require payment at the time or get deposits at the time, completely up to you. You can configure it. And you can also allow cancellations via the client portal as well. And you can set some parameters around that so you're still in control. You can say, hey, if it's an hour before the appointment or whatever you're setting, you can change it. You're not allowed to cancel that close. You have to contact. So you still maintain control, but you're getting rid of all the admin and the sort of friction involved in making and managing appointments. Now, along with that, you can then have, when new appointments are made, you can include confirmation emails that get sent out immediately to the patient. And in that, you can have things like FAQs, links that are to your practice, links to Google Maps and so forth. Plus, you can also include an automatically online form. So you can get intake form get sent out, which might have all the client details, insurance, referral information. You can have the a form go out where the patient signs the treatment and fee consent. All of that can be done electronically. And all of that gets automatically stored in the client profile, in our case, in Power Diary, it gets stored in there. And so there's no data entry, having people kind of, fill in paper forms and have someone kind of type it in. If you do the payment side of things, you can capture the payment. There's a whole lot of benefits to that because you get improved attendance rates and all sorts of things as well. But it just takes all of that admin work out and at the same time provides a better experience for the client. So it's a really low-hanging fruit, this one, if you're not using online bookings.
Yeah, and I think as you mentioned, there's there is some hesitation, I think, from clinics that aren't using it. But if you speak to any clinics that are using it, I think they never go backwards. They never turn it off. Once they've turned it on, they never turn it off.
Yeah, and it's inevitable, as we're saying about the trend. And so if people have concerns or reservations about using it, then the best thing to do is contact if you're using Power Diary, of course, contact us, or if you're using a different practice management software, if it does happen to have some sort of online functionality, try and get over that barrier that you have, because inevitably more and more of the market, are looking for this, and you don't kind of want to be left behind and have other, people taking up those, getting those patients and getting those spots.
It's hard to set up. A few minutes to set it up, and as you said, certainly Power Diary's got resources that can walk people through this, but I'm sure other platforms do as well.
Yeah, exactly. Jump on a call with one of our team members, and they'll do it with you, together. So it can be done if you're concerned.
Yeah. Okay, and so I guess that leads us into the next part of the client journey, which is appointment reminders. So we've already sent a confirmation email when someone makes a booking, but then their appointment may be, several weeks away. So reminders are just so crucial here.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest sort of drains on a business, both economically, of course, but also like psychologically. We know that if you have like a high rate of no-shows, obviously it makes an impact financially, but also for practitioners, it impacts on how they feel about their job. And actually, if you've got employees or contractors working for you and you have high non-attendance rates, that really impacts the way that they perceive the practice and their likelihood to stay. So you want to use, automatic appointment reminders. Now, with Power Diary, what you can do is you can set up automatically multiple reminders, SMS and email, and you can do them at different time points. And so one of the things that I think a nice configuration is sort of like a week ahead of time, send them an email to say, hey, you've got this. It just sort of puts it in their mind, it prompts them to check if they have any conflicts in their calendar for that, gives you heaps of notice and if they want to cancel it or reschedule it rather than finding out, too close to it. And then, set up then some SMSs that go much closer to the appointment, and have one of those be a confirmation where you're asking for them to reply with yes or no to confirm or cancel the appointment. And then what that does, that automatically updates in the calendar in Power Diary. So you can see that it's turned red or it's turned green and so forth to show what status it has been. And you can also configure it so that if it's a cancellation, it alerts people as well. So alerts, team members that has occurred.
Work smarter, not harder. Power Diary, the complete practice management system for allied health professionals. Our all-in-one system with over 100 powerful features for health practitioners includes appointment scheduling, client messaging, SOAP notes, telehealth portal, payment integrations, and much, much more. Let Power Diary streamline and simplify your day-to-day operations so you can take care of clients. Join a live demo or start a free trial today. Learn more at www.powerdiary.com.
The other thing you can do, of course, is include reminders going to contacts. So in other words, if there maybe there's a team that attends sort of semi-independently, but it doesn't hurt to have a reminder with consent, of course, going to their parent or guardian just to help, you know, ensure that they, you know, they're driving to, you know, to make sure that, that they're aware of it. You can also do things like include links, you know, to instructions. So things like advice around parking, right? Things, you know, of course, the Google Map reference or something like that. Again, it just helps everything run efficiently, and it prevents the phone call of where do I park, or running late because they kind of got a bit lost, anything like that. You know, what it does is it just sort of drops all of that. It means that the practice is in an automatic way running efficiently, and it's great for patients. People actually turn up. They turn up on time. So you got, you know, reduced no-shows. You're going to stay on schedule better for the day. And the other thing that you can do with Power Diary is you can encourage inquiries via reply SMS, and we have a, you know, a chat panel interface that looks like your iPhone, or where that message going back and forward. So if someone does have a question, if you're encouraging them to reply to their reminder with any questions, then it allows that very efficient communication to occur there in real time. Again, versus having them ring, maybe have to leave a message, someone calls them back, blah, blah, blah. So doing this, it just, it makes the things run efficiently, and patients, you know, clients love this.
Yeah. Well, for most clients, it seems to be their preferred way of communicating, and more, as you've said, like, it's sort of just, yeah, people don't want to get phone call, they don't look at their emails, text messages, SMS messages, that's how they communicate more and more.
Yeah.
And as a mother of teenagers, I couldn't tell you it's continuing.
It's not changing anytime soon, that.
No, it doesn't seem to be, yeah. They don't even seem to use it as an actual phone.
That's right, yeah.
But, okay, on to the next area. We wanted to talk about communication and documentation. So one of the things I say for practices, but also even internally for Power Diary, for all of my team and other teams, you know, if you find yourself writing the same thing twice, make it a template. Like, you know, just do yourself a favor, like spend a, you know, tiny bit of extra time sort of writing it out nicely, and then you put it in a reusable format so that you can benefit from that time after time. And, you know, the Power Diary system or any decent practice management system has good ways of making this templates help you be a lot more efficient. So I guess the first way is the treatment note templates.
Yeah. And that's right. And you can set these up, you know, to fit whatever the practice needs are. So say in Power Diary, we have some pre-made templates there, but they're all customizable. And we also have, libraries and things that you can sort of use. So but you can customize it to be, you know, to suit the exact needs. So things like what the initial consult, you know, what sort of headings and sections you want to have there, what a standard consult, final consult, any sort of situation specific templates that you might have. So if you're assessing particular type of patient or presentation, you can set up custom templates for that. You can also do things like quick copy from a previous note. So if you're doing a standard consult, you know, consultation, a lot of the content of the note may actually be similar to the last appointment that you had with that client. And so in Power Diary, you can get the last completed note and just duplicate it as a you know, basis for your current note that you're working on for that, for today's session. So it makes it super efficient. You're able to kind of do that. You also, I think, get a more consistent approach to the way that that the information is collected across the practice when you do that. So if you have you know, a bunch of people you know, working for you in a group practice, and you know, particularly if you've got beginning practitioners where they might benefit from more sort of structure to this, allowing them to sort of be able to open a note, a template, and see the headings and things that you'd like covered as part of that, say, initial assessment, Then they don't have to kind of think about it, much less chance that they miss anything. They can go through and just, complete that. So that's really good. The thing, other thing that we do too, that we have in Powerdiary that most, in fact, I'm not sure if any other practice management systems do this, but we have a separate admin note template. So this is an area of the client profile, which is just for admin notes. It has all the same features as the clinical notes. So you can set up your custom templates. You can do whatever you like to make it work for your practice. But it's available, and it's a place that the admin team can capture things that don't belong, obviously, in the clinical file, but should be a record stored. So, things like phone calls or internal notes and reminders about things that can all sort of go in there, and it allows you can also configure access so that an admin team member perhaps can access the admin notes of a client profile, but of course not necessarily the treatment notes. So you can really address the access and privacy things whilst allowing admin team members a place to store the stuff that is relevant in the work that they're doing. Now, in the same way, custom forms are another way that you can really improve efficiency, which we talked a little bit about at the start, but you can go beyond that and do assessments. You can collect any kind of information. You can get symptom rating scales. You can look at satisfaction with the service. Anything that you like, you can customize and send those out. Or you can complete them in session as well if you prefer. But collecting that information, having it automatically stored in the profile, is so much more efficient than any other method, right? And we have built, obviously, in Powerdiary, we've built this functionality into it directly, so everything integrates nicely. It's not running different systems to collect information. Yeah, some people will sometimes use some other service for forms and then try and copy that. I mean, it's just messy. So in Powerdiary, it's all natively built. We built it all so that we can manage all the privacy and security components, but also have that information automatically stored in the right place in Powerdiary and set the right access permissions for that content. A couple other things just to quickly go on in terms of automating communication documentation, things like letters, so feedback to referrers, acknowledgement, progress, closure, emails, anything like that, as well as any routine SMS messages that you send out. We have the appointment reminders and so forth, but there are other messages that we might routinely use. So it might be something to do with outstanding invoices. It might be anything at all. Could be a reminder to bring in some certain paperwork that's been provided. Could be anything. But like you said, if you're going to say it more than once, turn it into a template. And then in Powerdiary, you can just go, that's that template, bang, send, done. Or automate it altogether. So it's really, again, a low-hanging fruit here because you know the information that's in your head. And what you're trying to do is prevent the need to have to reinvent the wheel and think of it, over and over again and waste time and energy doing that. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's just, it stops yourself from reinventing the wheel every time and just reduces that cognitive load. Like if you're, staring at a blank screen, what do I write in this email? Which might be a simple email, but it's just so much easier to go, okay, same as before, and then, okay, I'll just customize it a little bit.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. The next area we wanted to speak about was the finance and referral management side of things. And I know this is obviously a hugely important area. And I think, Damien, you said you thought this was probably the most critical but also the least enjoyed area of pretty much any business, but particularly practices, health practices.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when we talked to a lot of health practitioners, over the years, and it's just and this is, I think, the most important and most hated. Right? And I think overall, it's a pretty safe thing to say that the majority of health practitioners don't like talking about money. Certainly, don't enjoy debt collection or things that involve the financial component. Now, that's not to say everyone, of course, but it's something that universally, is really not why people get into health, but vitally important. So how can we automate this? So we talked a little bit about, so you can have prepayment via the client portal. So that's one way to do it. I'd recommend that. It's amazing when you see practices that implement prepayment and encourage client portal bookings. It's amazing when you sit in, like if you sit in one of their waiting rooms and you watch what happens, right? Patients come in, they see, they don't have to do anything at the start. Like they just sit there, the practitioner provides the treatment, and then they just walk out the door. The payment, everything is done. And they they rebook on the client portal, or they've already have. So very, very efficient. But you can also store credit cards, and this is great, store credit cards in a secure, compliant way. So in PowerDiary, they're stored in a way that's compliant with all the relevant laws around this. But what it allows you to do then is you're not fiddling around with cards. You can actually just process a charge whenever needed, obviously within the consent that you've got documented and so forth. You can do all the sort of insurance management and process claims via that, so you're not sort of manually having to type things in. Use the integrated things for claiming, against insurance, or at least having information kind of compiled in a way that allows your insurance company to process that really easily. Things like Xero, so using integrations with your accounting system so that it allows all the information, invoices, payments, and so forth to be synced across, and saves you having to sort of fiddle around and having systems that aren't sort of talking to each other. And then this one here about debt collection, right? Huge, right? So of all the things to do with finances, debt collection is the one that people dislike the most. And you can automate this and simplify it by including, so we have a link where you can include links to invoices directly. It's done in a way that you can actually just send that out. The patient or the client or whoever needs to pay it can just click on it. It opens up a little interface where they can actually just enter their credit card and pay it. And they can do that without having to interact directly with someone. So we know one of the reasons that people don't pay their outstanding debts is it becomes awkward. They don't want to go. It's inconvenient, of course, to go into a practice to do it, but also can be awkward. So if it's a no-show fee you're collecting, or it's a non-payment from a previous session, people are often kind of avoidant around that, and that leads to a whole cascade of issues. So just sending it out, bang, get that debt collection done. We've run tests in our before we had sold our practice now, but we would send out these debt collection links using PowerDiary, of course, and amazing, like the difference in what we were able to collect versus the manual ways we were doing it before we built this feature.
Yeah, of course. I'm just adding that convenience. Yeah. People don't even want to log into their banking system, just if they can plug in their credit card number. It's just so much easier for them.
Yeah, exactly. And it just literally, they click on that link, it pops up with a form. And often, depending on how their phones are set up, but it will look at their wallet, their digital wallet, and say it can even pre-fill the credit card details. So they just click on, use that card, and then, of course, the practice gets notified, hey, this person's paid. It updates the invoice automatically and records the payment. It updates everything in the patient file. Very, very handy, and you can run reports on that. The other thing is referral management and session tracking, because this is a sort of pain point. And again, anywhere in the world, there are often authorized numbers of sessions, or there is a budget given to how much can be kind of utilized, and that is going to be sort of paid for under, certain plans or insurance coverage. And this, within PowerDiary, you can configure that, so it's all tracking it automatically. If there's a certain amount of money that's been authorized, or a certain number of sessions being authorized, or that can all be set up in the system to say, okay, we've got a new referral, we've got a new approval for X amount, set that up, and the system will track it all and give you a countdown, give you alerts if the person's running out, running down of, as well. So take that headache away, get rid of the manual ways of processing, and importantly, get rid of the costly mistakes that happen. And finally, on this slide, and there's lots of things we could talk about here, but no-show management. You can really, get this, much better sort of both prevention, of no-shows by some of the things we were talking about, but also getting on top of collecting the money for no-shows really efficiently. And we know the faster that you collect any kind of debt, actually, but particularly with no-shows, the faster that you take action to get that payment, the higher the odds are that you will receive that. The bigger the gap between the event that caused the debt and the collection of that debt, the lower the likelihood is that you're going to get it. So if someone doesn't attend and you straight away, process. If you've got it set up in the system, you could process the charge on their card if you already have it stored, or you send them a link and say, here's the no-show fee. The odds of getting that no-show fee paid in the moment is much, much higher if you do that quickly and easily at the time and not wait. Don't wait for the next session. Worst thing you can do. But we'll talk about that at a different webinar. But anyway, this makes it automatic and makes it efficient.
Yeah. And just, improves cash flows, which is, you know, the number one problem that all businesses tend to face. So, so important to get that right. But another important area is performance metrics. And this is, you know, having some easy way of getting a snapshot of where your business is, where your business is standing, looking at it in different sort of aspects so that you can both, you know, identify opportunities and identify problems. And if you can, you know, if you can automate this in a way that it just allows you to find one problem that was, you know, significant or one opportunity, it can make a huge difference in flow on effects from this. So, I mean, in PowerDAO, we have a whole lot of different reports, which makes it super easy to get this data. I've listed out some of them here, reporting on, pretty much every aspect of your practice.
One other the comment I'd make about this is that often is around supervision of team members using data, you know, because it can be awkward, right? Like you own a practice, maybe there's a practitioner that maybe there's some issues with retention or with something, right? It can be a little awkward, right? Some of these having these conversations. When you've got data, it's not, data's a good starting point for the conversation and it's objective and you can look at it and you can benchmark against the rest of the practice and so forth. So I've found, you know, using data like this is so helpful for having like a conversation that's a shared conversation, but hey, we've noticed this, let's have a talk about what might be causing that. It's a much easier entry into that than, you know, if I just went with my opinion or my sense of something, you know, that's, so if you find it's a little awkward, then using data just makes things so much easier and you're looking at facts rather than just perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. And then finally, the last area where we wanted to talk about was actual practice processes. And so this is something that, you know, we thought about long and hard and we really wanted to, you know, create a really good solution for, because all practices need an operations manual. And, you know, going back to that book, Michael Gerber's book, The E-Myth, that is a big foundation of that. And, you know, a lot of these things, templates and things can be included in the actual workflows and whatnot, but other things you kind of need references and standardizations as, you know, to how you actually go and do something. So a big feature we introduced last year was the practice operations manual. And this, you know, so many practices have told us it's been an absolute game changer. So we have written processes that help you pre-think how things are done. And actually, we, rather than just provide the sort of a tool so that you could upload your own processes, we actually wanted to provide all of that and sort of make it as easy as possible. So we've actually got hundreds of pre-written processes and policies in there that you can take, and again, you know, take what you want, leave what you don't, and edit them as well, and, you know, make them, really make them your own, but you're not starting from a blank slate there. So all kinds of processes, you know, I don't know, maybe we talk about a couple of these, but, you know, I think things as simple as, you know, how to answer the phone, like how do you want people to answer the phone in your practice?
And I would say things like you know, having a one of the, you know, documents in there is just a list of the emergency contacts for, what I mean by that, it's for the operation of the practice. So the plumber, the electrician, the local council, police, you know, those sorts of things, right? Like, you know, who you use, the contact details, if you've got a contact person there. And one of the things that we used to do at our practice is we'd put like an authorization limit in there as well. So, you know, if let's say there was an issue, you know, let's say the toilet is not working or something and I'm not available or my wife wasn't available, then our admin team would know what plumber to ring, get the plumber out there, and then depending on what the cost of the proposed solution is, then they would know whether they can just sort of approve that straight away or whether they would need to sort of get, get us involved, you know, in that. So it just, again, it takes away a lot of these kind of friction points and things that waste time, and you know, and sort of is a drag. You're better off using like that brain power and that resource to, you know, on things that actually add value to your practice, yeah, or that you find more enjoyable than things that are really, you know, repetitive and you're rethinking the same things. You're doing the same effort for the same task over and over.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And things like daily or weekly checklists of what needs to be done. I was thinking, Damien, you've got lovely plants behind you. You know, once a week someone needs to water the plants. You know, have that on your checklist.
Yeah,
onboarding, offboarding, you know, for team members when they're starting or leaving the practice, you know, just make sure nothing falls through the cracks. And it's the sort of thing as well. It's, you know, it's, again, it's a living document. So you start one person, you may think of an extra thing that needs to go onto that list, so you add it on so that next time that's on there. And the practice is constantly evolving and getting better over time, and it's really, just becoming better and better, really.
And one of those two, that's right. If you were going to scale it, and it means that it's you're not just sort of amplifying inefficient processes, you know, you're scaling efficiently, but it also removes and deals with that problem that of practices getting reliant on like one or two key people. Like it could be the owner, but often it's like an admin person who's been there a long time and knows everything in their head, they become dependent on that person. If that person leaves or gets sick or whatever happens, or maybe it's no longer a good fit, then the whole practice
have a holiday.
Exactly, yeah, that's right. I hadn't even thought about that. but everything kind of it can really kind of go to pieces, and so that's a sign that there's a, you know, there's a single failure point, and you also can't like scale that person either. So, you know, if you have those sort of things, getting everything kind of documented and just having a process means a new person can come in, and of course they're not going to be as good as a person who's been doing it for a long time, but it's all there. They're like, oh, what do I do for this? They click on it. Oh yeah, I answer the phone like this, I do this, this is how I, whatever process you have, but they're doing it your way, and you're reducing that kind of unhealthy dependence on key people.
Yeah, absolutely. And seasonal things too. I think you were talking before we started as well about your Christmas message.
Yeah, I used to agonize trying to think of the phone message once a year for Christmas, but it's the same content. I want to say the date's a little different of when we're open and closed, whatever. But I'd have to rethink it, you know, over and over, and I'd get annoyed, you know, this before we had this, of course. and so eventually I went, oh, you know what? I saved like a note on, I think, Evernote or something I was using at the time. You know, so I had that and I would then year after year appreciate it was there. But for a few years, it took me a little while to click, you know, that I'm spending this time thinking about these kind of messages. And you can just, you know, put a script in there, put it in the practice manual in PowerDiary. And then it's there forever. And if you're not there, you know, someone else can do it. They know exactly what to say. It'll be done in your way. They'll know how to update that onto your voicemail system on your phone, because you can put those instructions in the practice manual as well. So saves your time, makes it people less reliant on one person.
Yeah. And, of course, there's heaps more that we could talk about here. So many different areas of running a practice that can be automated. But I guess they're the ones we think are the most important, most significant improvements to be made. And I guess we wanted to just let people know, if you're using PowerDiary and you want help setting any of these things up, we've got lots of ways of helping you. So, you know, obviously you can just email our team. We're very responsive. Anyone that's used our support should be able to testify to that. We've got an amazing support team behind that. We've got live chat most of the time. We've got... you know, if you need an actual one-on-one call, you can book a call with us. And of course, we've got lots of resources, video and written resources in our knowledge base as well.
Exactly. So we're here to help. We want to, you know, help you get the most out of PowerDiary, get your practice, you know, running as efficiently as, you know, you possibly can, and then enjoying that free time and free headspace, which, you know, is important for all of us.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's really all we've got time for today. But thank you. And I guess we wanted to, I guess, end by encouraging you to start simple, perhaps set a target of one little process to improve a week. And, you know, half an hour a week set aside for improving a process is going to have a huge cumulative effect and a huge impact on your practice after a few months, or imagine after a year of doing that.
Well said, and very important.
Well, we'll leave everyone with that, and maybe you've got time to go and improve one process now.
Exactly. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, bye then.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Practice Power Up podcast with Damian Adler. Come back often and make sure you subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. Your feedback is important.